It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Ben Bolin.
And I'm Scott Benjamin.
And Scott, as we get this episode started, I thought we might try a little bit of an intro, a little bit of a segue.
Oh, okay. What do you got in mind here?
All right. Have you heard of the Chelyabinsk meter?
I have not.
Okay, the meteor, rather. So the Chelyabinsk...
Oh, the meteor.
Meteor.
Oh, you're fooling me.
Yeah.
I've heard of the meteor.
Okay, so you know that one. It was an asteroid that entered Earth's atmosphere right over Russia just last year, right? February 2013?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this was super easy to observe, it turns out, because they had so much video footage of it. You can go on YouTube now and you can see clips of this thing from around Russia.
Sure, and you stumped me with the name, but once I heard the meteor, I think everybody knows the meteor because it's really the only one that's been captured on video recently in so many different ways, right?
Yes, and there's a reason that it's been captured so well, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, and that's because so many people are carrying dash cams. And not just dash cams, but other surveillance forms that we'll talk about as well. But mm-hmm. dash cams are the primary reason that we were able to see so many different views of this thing, you know, striking the Earth.
Right, yes. And today we are talking about dash cams. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have ever killed a little bit of time on the internet, then you've probably run into a Russian dash cam video where you can see some amazing, terrifying, and hilarious feats of daring do as well as idiocy.
Yeah, some tomfoolery going on there. A little bit of fraud. A lot of fraud, actually.
A lot of fraud.
And, you know, we'll talk about the Russian stuff in particular. They're actually all over the world and in most places. There's a few places where it's forbidden.
Right.
We're going to talk about those as well. But, man, I guess maybe we should talk first about what purpose do they serve? What's the purpose of a dash cam? Or should we even describe what a dash cam is just in general so people know what we're talking about?
That's a great point, Scott. Yeah, let's start there. Let's explain how this works and what it is. So it's just a camera in your car.
Inside, yeah, it's usually mounted inside the vehicle, just behind the windscreen, usually typically right next to the mirror.
Right.
Something that's up and out of the way. You don't see a cord attached to it usually. There's a good reason for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's tucked out of the way, usually very, very low profile.
Inconspicuous.
Something that you wouldn't see from the outside unless you're really looking for someone with a dash cam. And the good thing about these dash cams is that they continuously record while the vehicle's in motion. So, you know, it's not something that you have to get in and think about setting up every time and
right.
programming and, you know, clicking on and off when you get out. It's something
or
that,
record, there's about to be an accident.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. Yeah, because you never know, right? And, right. and the one time you need it is the time you're going to forget to do that, invariably. That's going to happen.
Sure.
So, you know, the good ones are ones that are powered by the vehicle. And we could talk about some features later, too, if
mm-hmm,
you want, some
mm-hmm.
specific features that people look for in these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of them is that, you don't have to think about it. You know, it just continuously goes, and when you need it, it's there.
Yeah, so that's something that we'll dive into in a little bit. In the course of this podcast, we're going to talk about the basic types of dash cams, why you would have one, who would have one, what they have, and of course, things to look out for.
Yeah, and features to look for. I got a list of about 12 specific features to look for, and the surprising prices of these things.
Yeah, no kidding. I was thinking of that too. So first things first, you will most often hear about three basic types of these onboard cameras. They're called dash cams because, that's right, they're typically on someone's dashboard and they're a camera, so it's a portmanteau, which I think everybody probably already knew. So those three types, you've got one that would just be a single camera pointing through a windshield out front, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the, I'm going to say that's the most common type.
Sure.
And then you have multi-cams, so that's more than one camera, which I think is pretty cool.
I think that's pretty cool too. Multi-channel, multi-camera.
Exactly.
Multi-view.
Multi-view, yeah. Which, as we'll find, having those other angles can be pretty important. And the last basic type would be the rear view camera, right? Mm-hmm. And this is not, no, we did a podcast recently on smart rear views, and we've done,
the backup cameras as well.
The backup cameras as well. Yeah. This thing is not there to assist you with driving. It doesn't give you any feedback while you're driving. That's a big difference.
This is another one of those constant recording.
Yep.
It's just simply documenting what happens on your drive.
Yeah. And it makes sense that these could eventually become standard. But that leads us to a little bit of a different conversation here, Scott. Why would you want one?
Well, there's a few different reasons, right? I mean, I can think of a few just off the top of my head. And one is, first of all, it's just a good CYA move on your part.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, let's cover your, you know, whatever you want to put in there.
Cover your avenue.
Avenue. That's a good way to say it, Ben. But it's a great device to have on board because it's kind of like a witness to everything that happens.
Right.
And when I read about some of these features, you'll understand just how important that can be and, you know, where it comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
So again, a good CYA move on your part, just something to have, you know, that's fine. I mean, the other reason would be recreational use maybe.
Mm-hmm.
This is maybe less so than the others because, you know, these continually record. It's not quite like the GoPro cameras where, you know, you have a specific need for them, you use them for, you know, you're going to do a track day event or something like that. That's typically what you'd use a GoPro for, you know, like strap it onto something that you're going to do something crazy with, like a mountain bike or, you know, parachuting or something like that. This is a little different. It's always there. It's always on. You can gather footage from it. You know, if you've gone on a particularly beautiful ride or something like that, you know, it may capture something unusual that happens on that drive that you didn't expect to happen. That's maybe the best use for these things
because
you never know when to turn the camera on, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah, that's a little trick of it.
It's opportunity, right? So,
but there are other uses too.
Yeah, the other one is maybe employer use, and a lot of people don't think about this one, but an owner of a company that has a fleet of vehicles might decide that it's a good idea to install these so they can kind of monitor what's going on out on the road every day because they've got multiple vehicles out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really able to monitor everybody at every turn and be able to figure out what they're up to. So, you know, the funny thing about that is, Ben, when I think about this, and I've thought about this employer use a few times, and it's like, okay, you can kind of make sure that your employees aren't out on the road acting like a bunch of jackasses, right? But
right.
You can also use it to kind of like deter that ahead of time because if the employees know that it's there, they're going to maybe be a little bit better behaved, I guess. You know, they're not going to stop off at, stop off at the liquor store for 30 minutes and then over to the park for an hour and a half. And geez, I wonder what's going on there, right?
Uh-huh.
They're going to be less apt to do something like that because they feel like, well, there's always a chance that somebody's going to take a look at this footage and see what we're up to. So let's keep it on the straight and narrow and just get our job done, you know, in a professional way. And that's kind of what they're thinking. And it's also, again, a CYA move on the other side. So if the employees say, look, we didn't have anything to do with this accident. Someone ran into us. The employer's got something to back it up and he doesn't, you know, he's got like the best witness there. That's the other thing. So it's kind of like one way you can use it to, keep your employees in line a little bit. The other way is like, well, it just helps you. It helps you on the other end if something does happen. You can say my employees were doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing.
Keeps everybody on the up and up. And that's one of the reasons when we say employers, guys, we don't just mean auto fleets or truck fleets. This could also go for law enforcement.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And law enforcement, in fact, they're using entire systems that we'll talk about. But how many times have we seen some incredible police footage, you know, some chase footage?
Sure.
Or just, you know, when they pull somebody over for, you know, who knows, a routine traffic stop, and then it ends in a shootout.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
You know, they make an arrest for whatever reason. Let's say they're the person's DUI.
Sure.
They're driving under the influence. So they make an arrest, and they bring the person back, and they put them on the hood of the car, and then something happens. They decide to struggle and run.
Right.
Or, you know, there's something that it could be used both ways, I guess.
And maybe. It's a good, I would say, invaluable objective witness at times, which is why in all of the cases we've just named, that's why there's not really anything as good as a dash cam, including having another person with you. I don't want to sound all science fiction-y, Scott, but if you think about it, when it comes to witnesses, it's better to have it on tape than it is to have, you know, you and I in a car going, "No, sir, that's how it went down. The camel charged at us."
This is the unblinking eye, Ben. This is
the
perfect witness, really. It really is. And the thing is, Ben, you know, if they've got multiple views, like the multi-camera systems that we talked about, and, you know, audio to go along with it, and night vision, and all these other things that we'll talk about, that really becomes a solid piece of evidence that helps you in a court of law if it ever gets to that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or to prove your side of things, that, you know, you were doing the right thing, someone else was doing the wrong thing. But it could also work against you. You know, your dash cam footage could be used against you if you think that you're in the right and, you know, the footage proves otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And that's happened to a few people.
That's happened in law enforcement. That's happened, you know, in private use as well. It happens all the time. So all of these situations, these circumstances that we're talking about kind of go both ways. I mean, it can, you know, one or the other. It's either used to prove innocence or guilt one way or the other.
Right. I love that you say that this can go either way. This can indeed be a double-edged sword. When we talked about, we just barely mentioned legality. And it is true that in some places, like the United States, it's perfectly fine to have a dash cam because there's not really an expectation of privacy on a public road.
That's right. And you do have to know your state's laws, whether or not it's admissible in a court of law.
Right. That's a big difference, and that could go by state. And in some cases, like in Austria or Switzerland, dash cams are forbidden categorically.
That's exactly right. But in Russia, where we talked about, you know, I forget the name of the meteor now, but in Russia, where all these dash cams are so widespread, it's so prevalent there for a very good reason, because there is a lot of insurance fraud and there's also some corruption, some law enforcement corruption that goes on there.
Yes.
And they capture that on camera. And I got one quick thing before we kind of get into the subject or what we've seen on some of these Russian dash cams.
Yeah.
Well, two things maybe.
Okay.
The first is that it seems like these dash cams, if you think about it, in most cases, it's not really capturing something that's happening to the driver of the vehicle itself that the dash cam is contained in. It's like it's capturing all these shenanigans that are happening to other drivers.
Right.
So you're seeing things that are happening, you know, half a block away or closer, you know, maybe the car right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Most times that's when this stuff is really helpful, because you're not getting that multi-view where you see what happens to the side of the vehicle or behind the vehicle. Because one of the frauds that we see, Ben, one of the frauds that we see over and over and over again in Russia is that somebody will stand on the side of the road and just ram their body into the side of a vehicle as it drives by, or a bus, or anything.
Yep.
And then lay on the ground, and it appears as if that person knocked them over. They've run them over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. I mean, you could see it's a clear case of fraud.
But if you didn't have that camera there, you wouldn't know if it was a fraud. There's this classic piece where there's a big delivery truck backing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then this guy walks up beside it in the back right, you know, throws a bike under it, and then waits for the tire to hit it, and then throws himself against the wall.
That's exactly right. But see, you know what? The point is, though, that delivery truck, even if they had a dash cam, it wouldn't capture that.
Mm-hmm.
That relies on somebody else having a dash cam that captures that then turns over the footage to the police or to the court or whoever and says, or the company and says, you don't really have a claim here. The only case that I can really think of that I've really seen that maybe your own dash cam would save your butt in this situation, is that, you know, you can see the person ahead of time kind of edging out towards the road, and then at the last second they throw themselves into the side of the bumper.
Yeah.
That's one. The other one is the common scam that I see a lot on these is where in traffic, the person in front of you will throw their car in reverse and back right into your bumper. And then
claim you rear-ended them.
Exactly right. Claim you rear-ended them. They get out, they look at the thing, and then typically the driver gets out, points to the dash cam, and the other driver just gives up and walks away because they realize they're caught, that there's no way.
Yeah, that's just, it's so ridiculous. Now, we do want to say we're not just giving Russia a hard time, although Russian dash cam shenanigans, and I love that you use that word, are the most popular on YouTube. It is also true that in China, in Taiwan, other areas of the world, India as well, these kind of scams can be prevalent.
And let me tell you, I've been watching these so often this week, you know, like trying to get ready for this podcast and just seeing what's out there. You know, some of the there's crazy accidents that you can't, that are captured as well, and high speed chases and all that, you know, but these people that throw their body into the side of vehicles every morning on the way into work, I'm edgy now thinking about people doing that, because, you know, there's a lot of jaywalkers here on my way into work. You know, they're on smaller streets, cutting across in the middle, you know, in between cars, whatever. I'm just waiting for somebody to do that. And, you know, I have no way to prove that that's what happened, really.
Got to get a dash cam, buddy.
Maybe multi-camera, maybe.
Yeah, multi-cameras pointing out all angles, have a convoy surrounding you, and they have dash cams as well. Maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves. So in some parts of the world, as a driver, this may be a necessity, not just a nice thing to have.
It looks like it's getting to be that way. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's strange when you consider at the nuts and bolts level how basic a dash cam really is, because I think for a lot of drivers in the United States, a dash cam is seen as this sort of expensive, luxurious thing. But we were both pretty surprised when we hit the price points that we'll talk about later.
Yeah, that is not the case with many of these things, right?
Yeah.
They're very, very simple.
There's also a wide range. Yeah, but simple parts they've got. So, yes, they do have a camera of widely varying quality, which we should say at the top, and we'll go into in a little bit more detail later. They have some kind of mount. They have, they'll typically plug into your power outlet, or for the old school among us, the cigarette lighter in the car. Mm-hmm. They'll also have, typically they'll have a memory stick of some sort. Mm-hmm. And this is where the loop recording comes in, because when the memory stick is full on your dash cam, then it just loops back and starts from the beginning.
Yeah, it records over top of what's already there.
Right. So things are also being erased at the same time they're being recorded.
Yes, and you can stop that process, obviously. Mm-hmm. So if something happens, you need to keep that footage. Obviously, you can start and stop that process in some way. You know, you remove the stick, you there's a way to program it that says, I need this to remain. And you're able to rescue that footage from the camera.
Yeah, and that is the vital part of the operation when you're going to court, or when you're, you know, maybe you're contesting a ticket or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that more and more dash cams have is a global positioning device.
Interesting.
Which makes a lot of sense when you think about it.
Well, what do you think about that, Ben? Like, what are your thoughts on having a GPS device built into a dash cam?
Well, from the dash cam perspective, it's good because it allows corroboration. So we know that, you know, car A was actually in the area that driver A is purporting the car to be in.
Sure.
However, from a privacy perspective, again, it goes back to our earlier podcast about the black boxes that at least the U.S. government is mandating go into cars. I think that people can be alarmist about it, because if you have a smartphone with you when you're driving, you already have a GPS device in your car.
Yeah, and remember when we were talking about fleet owners just a moment ago? That's another key feature that they look for, is because they know where their vehicles are, how fast they were driving, you know, how long they made each stop.
Yeah.
All that information is right there, and it just hopefully it proves the innocence of their drivers.
Right, yeah. This is not necessarily, in most cases at least, this is not some nefarious violation of privacy. This is more like an ability to defend from multiple angles or figure out an objective truth.
It's good business.
Right, because otherwise, you know, if you really wanted to and you had a lot of time, talent, and money, I guess you could fake dash cam. But with a GPS, you couldn't.
It would be extremely difficult.
It's like the plot of a thriller.
Yeah, it would have to, you'd have to recreate everything. It would be very, very difficult. So, Ben, you know, you mentioned, mm-hmm. you're mentioning a lot of these already, so maybe I feel like we should get into some of the features.
Oh, yeah. Let's see the features.
And I'll tell you, I've got a short list here. It's about a dozen, but I'm going to keep it short. I'm not going to expand on these too much, maybe just a little bit. And then before we get to prices, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we've already talked about some of the basics of these things, but some of the things that you would look for in a dash cam if you were to go out and buy one.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a buyer's guide, I guess. The first thing would be how discreet is the dash cam?
Ah, good call.
And feel free to jump in on any of these and make a comment because discreteness, I think, is a big, big factor in this because if people see a giant dash cam mounted on your front windshield that has a screen hanging down and it's obvious that you're monitoring everything, that may alter their behavior a little bit. I mean, and that's fine. I mean, maybe that prevents something from ever happening, but
sure.
I don't know. Is discreteness a critical factor for something like this, do you think?
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, CentraTech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, The Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Let's go
number
with,
one on the list.
Yeah, let's go with worst case scenario. Mm-hmm. Okay, so worst case scenario, you're driving and there's a somehow you become the victim of a crime.
Sure.
And the criminal who could have been caught had the camera been discreet notices it, mm-hmm. takes the camera, maybe as a violent reprisal. And again, that's just such an extreme worst case scenario. Another thing is that going back to the way it alters people's behavior, right? Mm-hmm. A discreet dash cam is less likely to get you hassled because in some, here in the States and, well, you know, in Austria and Switzerland, it's illegal, but in a lot of other places, people who, you know, if you're in another country and a corrupt official of some sort knows you have a dash cam, they may just take it.
There's a good chance of that, I guess. I mean, you know, my mind instantly went to the, I'm going to nab that dash cam off of that, or I'm going to violently remove it from your possession. Mm-hmm. And that would be a bad scenario, I guess.
Right, because then you'd be out a dash cam.
Yeah, exactly right. So let's move on to number two here, and that is video resolution. Now, this is a big one, Ben, because what good is having a dash cam if you can't really see what's happening on the dash cam?
Oh, yeah, and a lot of dash cams are okay during the day and just piss poor at night.
Just as kind of a rule of thumb, there's 640 by 480 was a common resolution, and you may be tempted to buy something like that, but you're not going to be able to see everything clearly.
No, don't.
If you get something that's, that supports like the 720p resolution, which is, I think it's like 1280 by 720 pixels. That's that's HD quality video. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what you want. But there are some now that are full HD, which is, you know, kind of becoming the standard for 2014. And that's 1080p. So, I mean, some of these, and, you know, I'm talking about, you know, pretty high end cameras.
Oh, yeah.
As we get to the price points here, if you're cautious about that, saying like it's going to be too expensive, some of these are available for less than $100.
And that's the 1080p ones.
Exactly right. And there's some that are even going beyond that, because the best one right now supports something like 2304 by 1296 pixels and 30 frames per second, which is, that's like a professional quality video. That's what you see on the news every night.
Yeah, that's the GS6000, right?
Yeah, that's A7? Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's a very high-end camera, rather. I don't know how expensive that one is in particular, but we'll get to prices in just a minute. The next one that you just kind of mentioned for number three was night video quality. And this is just good to know because, you know, the dashboard cameras, even with a resolution of 1080p, they'll capture decent video during the daytime, but at nighttime, it may be a little questionable what they can capture. You know, if it's a license plate or they're trying to read a street sign.
Sure.
Or see detail of a face, something like that, you know, where it may be very, very important in a court case. But true night vision isn't necessary for all dash cams, as you'll find out. You don't have to have anything like that because typically when you're driving at night, you're going to have your headlights on. And there's going to be some amount of light that's cast out there. You're not going to be in a true dark, you know, situation where there's no light at all. And true night vision would be helpful in that situation, but you don't need true night vision. So there's kind of a line that you have to walk there, like between daytime and nighttime quality.
Yeah, there's a definite balance game there. There's a little bit of a fuzzy area. Mm-hmm. I would say that one of the industries most concerned with the quality of nighttime recording as well as daytime recording will have to be police officers, because this also, first off, you have to have that. If you're a police officer, you have to have something that can be an objective witness when someone's story starts to change, right?
Yes. And you know what? We're on number three here on our list of 12, but don't be sorry, because you brought up as a very valid point, because I just want to talk maybe just a moment, a little bit more about law enforcement, if that's okay.
Sidebar.
Just a sidebar, I guess. And it's a short one, but I want to point out that, you know, they're going with whole surveillance systems. So they've got backseat monitors. They've got, you know, monitors that view all the way around the vehicle at certain times, you know, at all times, really. But you should also know that, you know, when they've got the surveillance system turned on, that whatever is being fed into the vehicle at the time or into the system at that time can be viewed anywhere. Mm-hmm. So this is important to remember, I guess, for you criminals out there, that, you know, it's not just the dash cam. It can be monitored back at the dispatch center.
Yeah.
Back at the headquarters.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I mean, anything that's recorded at the headquarters can be viewed anywhere that there's a screen or an internet connection, really. Mm. I mean, it's something that they can, you know, pick up anywhere, really. As long as you can see an image, you'll be able to see what's happening on those cameras. You can view it on a mobile device. You can view it in the cars. And this transmission goes back and forth either way. And it's very, very valuable to law enforcement because, you know, they can keep an eye on what's going on in all vehicles at all times, monitor the situation, send whoever they need to, you know, for backup, whatever, see exactly what happens, and use all of this in a court of law against the perp, I guess, you know, in whatever situation. When it's admissible. And then, again, the other way that this works is that if there's a claim of, you know, police brutality, something like that happens, this footage can be used against them in some situations. So you got to remember all that. But I think a lot of people forget you know, the two-way street that this is, and just how flexible these systems are becoming, and how, you know, I guess omniscient they are. They're everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's weird because when we talk about this, the question of surveillance naturally comes up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's watching the watchers and all that, mm-hmm. all that jazz. One of the strangest statistics I found about this, was that in terms of just surveillance, counting closed circuit television cameras mm-hmm. in, you know, just on a street corner outside of a shop or whatever, the population of the United Kingdom is the most observed population in the world in terms of number of times a day you will appear on a camera.
I didn't know that.
Just walking through your day. Hmm. Ah, but now that situation may be changing over time because of dash cams.
Oh, really? Yeah, because
possibly.
Who knows how many times you're being captured on a dash cam as you walk. Ben, as a matter of fact, you and I were on a little field trip today. We've got something coming up that we're pretty excited about.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we actually went to one of our local museums today.
That's right. And we were on camera because we were walking through a courtyard.
Yep.
And I happened to notice that they were, you know, building an art installation or something like that.
Oh, yes.
And they were creating a time lapse video of the whole thing, you know, being installed. And we inadvertently walked right through the middle of it.
Right.
So I was saying, I was just remarking to you as we walked through, like, hey, we're on camera. And, you know, we sauntered through as we normally would. But, anyways, I think that, you know, you forget just how many times a day you're on camera. I mean, and with dash cams, this could be hundreds of times a day if you're just walking down the city street.
Sure. Yeah.
It's possible.
You don't have to walk down the street. You can stand at a stoplight.
But there's a good chance that no one's really going to even ever look at it because these things do something that's number four on our list called loop recording, which we've already touched on.
Right.
And that is where, you know, it just continuously records and then re-records over the same disc.
Mm-hmm.
And unless you need something, unless you have to save something, it's going to be lost forever, really. So,
yeah.
This loop recording is an important feature. It's kind of one of these, absolute must-haves on dash cams because you don't want to have to continually upload information, you know, that you won't ever use. You'd have, you know, volumes of material that you would never ever look at.
That's not the only must have though.
Yeah, the other must have is auto on and off, and this is one that we touched on before as well. You know, with the GoPro cameras that where you have to turn it on and off, you know, when you get in, that's kind of like the deterrent, I guess, for using a GoPro as a dash cam.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it for fun things, sure, but dash cam, a true dash cam is one that you just get in, you don't think about it, you switch the ignition on and your camera's on as well.
Yeah, totally. There's also, this is one of my favorite, the G sensor,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And that's basically a motion detection device. And what it will do is preserve the area of footage wherein an impact occurs, right? So it'll sense an impact, somebody stops too late, you know, in traffic at a red light and they, you know, they give you a tap. It might just be a paint swap, but enough to trigger a sensor. And then boom, your G sensor says, okay, don't delete any of the footage between this point and this point.
Sure. I understand. But you know, here's another situation, Ben. Someone bumps you from behind because that's their fault, right?
Right.
Typically.
Yeah.
Usually. If you bump somebody from behind, then it's your fault, typically, you
mm-hmm.
know, in most cases.
Usually, yeah.
The camera's not going to capture somebody hitting you from behind unless you have one of those rear-facing dash cams, right? And you can't call it a dash cam at that point. It's just a rear-facing camera.
That's true.
So there's this quandary. You know, it seems like you would want to have a multi-camera system to capture everything because, I don't know, forward-facing dash cam, that doesn't capture somebody smashing into you, really.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
You gotta have multiple cameras.
Just things that I think about, I guess. But, number seven
uh-huh.
is, parking mode. Now, I had no idea that this was possible. This is pretty remarkable.
Yeah, this is pretty crazy.
Okay, so if someone damages your car while you're gone, let's say you've parked your vehicle in a parking lot and someone hits your car and then drives away, the dash cam activates itself. There's this parking mode that kind of comes to life and starts recording immediately. So hopefully you'll be able to capture whoever hit your car, or at least you'll know when it happened. And then maybe you can go back to, you know, video surveillance in the garage or whatever and figure out who it was, who would have been there at that time and match mm-hmm. it up. So, this parking mode is something that I never thought of, but what a fantastic idea that is.
Yeah, this is perfect. And if I had hit a parked car that did this, I would freak out.
Well, you'd leave a note.
Oh, yeah. Well, I would hopefully not just be hitting parked cars.
That kind of guy. You'd leave a note. I always leave a note. I've hit a parked car before. I backed into somebody where my wife works. You know, we went on the weekend. We
were going or something.
Yeah, we were going to go feed the ducks in the pond or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was backing out and I just tapped a bumper, like real lightly, but it left a little scuff. And I did the right thing. I left a note and the person contacted me and everything was all taken care of, insurance, all that stuff. But, I felt okay about it. You know, I didn't want to leave. You know, you'd always feel like, somebody must have seen that or a guilty conscience, I guess.
People have done that to, my car in the parking deck here.
Here? So, no kidding. I've had it happen before as well, to the point where someone has bumped a fender and I didn't notice it. And then when I went to open the door, it collapsed in between, you know, the front fender and the door.
That's
like where they pinch. It's bad news.
So, wait, this is such a sidebar. Have you ever seen that thing? I've seen these on the web before where there's a note and someone says, you know, "Hi, my name is John. I am pretending to write down my information because someone saw me hit your car. Sorry."
What a terrible idea. Especially if you feel like, okay, let's say there's a surveillance camera in the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then, all right, then you're able to be captured anyways. And then you're kind of a jerk for leaving that note because they know who you are.
And don't think that you can get away with just saying, "Oh, that may have been my car, but that was a different time. That's not the incident we're talking about," because a lot of these vehicles have a date and time stamp as well.
Yes. These dash cams have this date and time stamp that is used often. Now, the critical part of this is that it's set up correctly. So, you know, you've got it exactly right. It's not blinking, you know, December 1st, 1999 noon.
Midnight.
Yeah, whatever. You know, it's not doing that. You got to make sure that you set them up correctly. And what's weird is I wonder how they figured this out for court cases, if it's calibrated correctly. But, anyways, you have to make sure that it's set up right and it can be used as evidence in some cases.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, "Well, I had this career before, but it was a waste." And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, "Oh, things are looking so resilient."
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Johnny B. Good, and I'm the host of the new podcast, Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. Over this 9-part series, I'll explore the life and crimes of my best friend, Ray Trapani.
I always wanted to be a criminal.
If someone's like, "Oh, what's your best way of making money?" I'm like, "Oh, we should start some sort of scheme."
You see, Ray has this unique ability to find loopholes and exploit them.
They collected $30 million. There were headlines about it.
His company, Centratech, was one of the hottest crypto startups in 2017. It was going to change the world, until it didn't.
I came into my office, opened my email, and the subject heading was FBI request.
It was only a matter of time before the truth came out.
You can only fake it till you make it for so long before they find out that your Harvard degree is not so crimson.
How could you sit there and do something that you know will objectively cause more harm in the world?
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of Bitcoin, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The screen, this is optional. I talked about this before. This kind of goes back to the discrete angle. It's kind of cool to be able to see it, I guess, you know, to make sure that what your camera is shooting is what you really want to see.
Right.
However, it makes it a lot more obvious when it's hanging down from the rearview mirror that, you know, you've got an LCD screen.
And spoiler alert, when we were earlier talking about combining a rearview camera with a rear-facing dash cam, it already happened. There's the HDVR 150.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And then you can connect an external GPS module to this one. So that means that the camera can be really small, really discreet, and you can have, you know, kind of this other unit elsewhere in the vehicle, and it doesn't draw so much attention as it normally would. That's kind of a high-end camera, by the way.
Yeah, it's pretty
let's
nice.
See. The other thing, number 11 on our list here, is a dual multi-channel system, which we've talked about. I think that this is kind of the future of dash cams, really.
I think so, because everything we're saying is just proving that it's more advantageous.
It just seems like it's a much better system, doesn't it? I mean, you cover so much more. You're able to use that in many more different ways than you would if you had to rely on somebody else turning over dash cam footage of your accident. And it seems very unlikely at this point. In Russia, again, where so many people have them, it's probably a lot more common, you know, that someone captures it. But here in the States right now, I think you're better off if you have a multicam system. And the last thing is, on this list of features that you're looking for is the power adapter.
Now, that might sound a little anticlimactic to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm, but it's very important.
Yeah.
And you may be confused when you first open the box, right?
Right, because you'll say, hey, I've got this tiny camera and this 11-foot power cord.
Right, and there's a good reason for that. You don't want to have that power cord just dangling down from the rearview mirror like we mentioned. You want to have it tucked up and out of the way. You want it to be concealed. You want it to be relatively discreet, you know, no one, unless they're looking for a dash cam, is going to see a dash cam, and the cord hanging down would be a dead giveaway.
Yes, and this goes all the way back to our original point, which we keep talking about, which is discretion, being discreet. And just to check real quick for our super producer, Noel, here on the ones and twos. Noel, do you have a dash cam in your car? Okay. Noel's a very trusting individual. I myself am going to go buy a dash cam pretty soon because I had no idea how inexpensive they are.
Yeah, but you got to be very careful because I looked up prices as well. As you know, I'm sure that you did. We were looking up these as far as like, keywords, cheap dash cam, right?
Yeah, I did best dash cam.
Oh, wow. You went the other way.
Cheapest dash cams.
Okay. What's the range, Ben? It's a shocking range.
Well, can I get the cat out of the bag here?
Sure.
You can get a dash cam for less than $20.
I found one for $9.99.
You can, and let's amend that, guys. You can get really bad dash cams for less than $20.
Sure.
Like, they'll show you something was happening outside of your car, but they might break pretty easily.
Yeah, it's like, which pixel was that?
Right. It'll probably still be a VGA resolution anyway.
Probably.
Then you can go all the way up to over $200.
You can go up over 400 if you wanted to get the ultimate, like the
multi-channel,
multi-channel. But you're right. The $200 range is about the max, or around the maximum, I guess, for single vision front view camera.
Yeah. That's like the top shelf premium stuff.
Yeah. That's right. And that's something that a lot of the reviewers, as a matter of fact, will tell you, you don't necessarily need to go to that $200 range. They found that there are a lot of these mid-range cameras, you know, like around the $60 or $80 range, that are, you know, full of functions that have exactly the, you know, similar functions, I guess, maybe not the full resolution that some of the bigger ones have, you know, like that crazy camera we first talked about, the one that has the
6000.
Exactly. Yeah. That, they may not have resolution like that, but they'll have good resolution. They'll have decent night vision. They're going to have, the G sensor. They're going to have the parking feature.
Right.
They're going to have all that stuff for $80,
which you cannot beat. This is a really important point, Scott, because when it comes to which dash cam should you buy, you really do have to ask yourself what you want to do with it. Mm-hmm. Like if you're using it for our earlier hypothetical road trippers who just want to capture amazing stuff, then what you want is a full HD camera. And who cares if it's discreet or not? Because you have to put it on the best place for the, you know, you're not doing anything other than shooting footage.
See, I would almost say that in that case, a GoPro is what you want. Because
I would too.
If you're taking a drive on the Dragon's Tail or something like that, yeah. You know, we see that, you know, motorcycle riders or mountain bikers or, you know, surfers or whoever, they use these GoPros and they get excellent footage, mm-hmm. really, really nice footage. But if you're just going to stick it in the front of your vehicle and drive around every day and just capture like your ride to and from work mm-hmm. every single day, that's not going to be so exciting. You're not going to really feel like switching that on and off every single time. And guaranteed there's going to be times when you forget to do that. Or you go out for lunch in the middle of the day and you forget to turn it on, and that's when the accident happens.
Right.
That kind of thing will happen. So, you know, the dash cam prevents that from happening. But again, you know, the GoPros have their place. They have a place if you're going to go on, you know, an amazing drive somewhere, like down the coast.
Yeah.
And you want to capture everything that you see. Fantastic use for them, and they provide great video. But some of these dash cams can do the same. You just have to remember to remove that memory stick and save that footage, because otherwise it's going to be overwritten overnight, or, you know, however long the disk is, the disk space. I don't
or
know
maybe
how long some of these record. As
if you
fact.
If you've got a G sensor, maybe just knock the crap out of your car real quick so it won't delete.
That's a good thing. It's a great idea. You could just smash the windshield with your fist real quick.
Every dent will have a story.
Yeah, exactly right.
Literally.
Exactly.
Okay, so where do we go next? So this is one of my favorite parts of the show, Scott, where I can ask you just a few questions about the future.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Okay.
What do you think is the future of dash cams?
Well, I really think that the multi-camera systems are the way that people are going to start going with them, as far as like enthusiasts, you know, people that buy them on their own aftermarket.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe we're going to start seeing manufacturers, you know, starting to include these as optional equipment on some vehicles here. I think that's mm-hmm. just going to happen. Now, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, something that is 50 statewide, you know, here in the States, you know, if it's going to be allowed in every state, because they may have areas that they don't allow that. I'm not mm-hmm. sure exactly what states allow and don't allow these systems right now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, kind of like the emissions thing, you know, the California emissions thing, where they make different vehicles for different regions. I think they may do something like that.
I see.
But they're already working with cameras as far as, you know, backup cameras and rearview mirror cameras. Why not include a dash camera?
That's a really good point. And also, I wanted to ask you what you think about some of the DIY dash cam stuff people are doing.
You mean that's kind of like scotch taping the GoPro to the window?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
It kind of is. And then there, I found this pretty cool forum called Dash Cam Talk. And in Dash Cam Talk, there are a lot of people talking about how to make their dash cams more discreet.
Oh, I see. So taking a dash cam system and mm-hmm. somehow, you know, integrating it into the rearview mirror itself.
Hiding it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool. Or maybe even put it in I guess you couldn't put it behind the glass, really. You know, in front of the glass. You'd want it inside protected.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've never thought of that. It's a different angle. But, man, why not? I mean, people take things to extremes, right? I mean, so this is just another thing that, you know, people will likely take to an extreme and start to, really figure out ways to make them very, very discreet so that no one has any idea that they're there.
Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Dash cams on motorcycles, for it or against it?
Oh, definitely for it.
Okay.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, for it. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we seen motorcycle riders here with the GoPro on their helmet?
Yeah.
I mean, that happens all the time, you know, and people have them mounted to the bike itself. So, you know, why not have a dedicated system that's on a motorcycle? I wonder how the G sensors and things deal with that. It's a bit more rough, I would guess,
mm-hmm.
in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. That's an interesting case. What do you think? Do you think that's something that motorcycle riders should have?
I think that it is in the best interest of a biker to have it,
mm-hmm.
just because most of the accidents that occur and involve a motorcycle are not the biker's fault. Most of them are incautious drivers.
So we're talking about like the motorcycles going down the road, someone pulls out in front of them and they end up flying over the hood.
Exactly.
That type of thing. Well, that would capture that exactly perfectly. That's exactly what they're looking for, I guess.
I mean, in
that type of footage. I mean, not that they want it to happen, but that, you know, if you're able to prove that that's what mm-hmm. happened, Great. That's your case right there.
The thing is, all the bikers that I know are some of the most aware people on the road mm-hmm. that you'll meet. And you have to be if you're on a bike. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, how many times have we seen people cut in front of bikes, you know, that just, you know, accidentally, inadvertently, mm-hmm. they don't mean to. They just didn't see them. They were in a blind spot. You know, they came up too quickly behind them, whatever the case may be. But
right.
It would be a great thing for a biker to have, you know, a little bit of documentation behind them if they were ever to have to go into court for something like that.
Now, Scott, we're going to have to go ahead and wrap up this episode because I want to get back to watching some dash cam car shenanigans.
Definitely.
Not that I'm laughing at anyone's tragedy, but I do enjoy seeing the fraudsters get busted.
You know what I'm more excited about watching is the dash cam police footage, you know, where they, the high speed chases and things like that.
Yeah.
And, pulling over people that become belligerent and, you know, things like that. I mean, it's interesting to watch. Sometimes, you know, some bad things happen, but
right.
very interesting footage. I love the high speed chases.
Yeah. And there, one other thing though. It is possible for people to shoot, you know, comedy stuff, parodying these sort of things, or as a parody rather. So be cautious when you're watching this. If it looks too funny to be true, it just might be. A healthy dose of skepticism never hurt anyone.
We've seen some bad fakes.
We've seen some bad fakes. Oh, yeah, man.
And some good fakes. There's some that, that will have you fooled mm-hmm. right up until something happens when it's like, okay, it was a joke.
Right. And here's our logo or whatever.
It happens.
All right. So we are going to go ahead and head out for today. Thank you so much for listening. We'd like to hear your dash cam experiences. You can find us on carstuffshow.com. Hit us up on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and send us an email directly. We are
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.